I want to thank Rodney and David for leading those songs. I had asked them at the very last minute to do that, and they stepped right up, and I appreciate that. I really do. And tonight we're going to be talking about prayer, peace, and patience. And I know a lot of you are probably from the generation as I that listened to the Lone Ranger on the radio. And, you know, the imagination that we developed, because sometimes the static would interfere and things such as that. And so you had to kind of fill in the blank sometime. Well, I'm just kind of preparing you as I go through this that you may have to fill in the blank sometime. And I'd appreciate that as well. So I'd like to start out with saying that I firmly believe that prayer is the foundation to our relationship with God. And I know that we are all truly blessed to have that avenue of prayer available to us 24/7. No matter how good things are in life and no matter how difficult things are in life, we have that avenue of prayer, that one-on-one, that connection that we need in order to sustain our growth in our Christian faith. So many times we're weak and we go into situations that are beyond us, that are bigger than we are. And in those situations, if we turn to our Lord and Savior in prayer, it'll give us that strength that we need to take that next breath, to take that next step in order to survive that situation or in order to be successful in that particular endeavor. And that I firmly believe, and I think that is something that I've been taught from listening to others. And that is something that I certainly try to practice in my life. And I will encourage you that if you have not utilized that avenue of prayer in those difficult times of this life, I encourage you to do that. Because it's a bond that we have with our Lord that gives us the strength that we need to go on. I would like for us to look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. God is near us when we pray to Him. You know, when I pray to God, and I know you feel the same thing, there is a closeness. You know, God is close to us when we are communicating and we're talking to God, and maybe we're opening up our heart in a manner that we seldom do. He touches our life. He touches our spirit. And it's something that is very special. And it's very personal. Our relationship with our Lord and Savior is a very personal relationship. I mean, it's one-on-one. And it's something that we all need to continually work at. You know, they talk about practice making perfect. Well, you know, I think that our relationship with our Lord can be a perfect relationship if we continue to communicate. We look at Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. You know, as we go through our life, we see people that deal with tremendous adversity. And they are so faithful. Even in the final moments of their life, they are so faithful. You have to have that relationship, because we're all going to go through that moment. That last moment on this earth. And when we do, we can find joy in our Lord and Savior and what He can do for us that no one else can do. Think about that for a moment, because that intensifies that relationship, because we're always looking for somebody to do something for us. And our Lord and Savior did that. He did something for us. He gave us that opportunity to go beyond this world and to be with Him in heaven. And for that, we are grateful. In Psalms chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. You know, we all make mistakes. I make mistakes daily. I try not to, but I stumble around and I fall and I fail. And it's so good to know that we have a merciful God that sees our needs and is there to give us a hand to get back up, to follow in His path. We look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The most important thing that we can learn to do in our Christian life is to turn our life over to God. Because, see, once we do that, once we turn our life over to God, then He's in control. And we are not having to make those critical decisions. We allow Him to work through us. And that is so important as we work at living a Christian life, that we turn our life over to God and we let Him work through us. So the second point that I wanted to talk about is peace. Now, peace is a state of calm, of freedom from strife and discord. You know, and as we look at the world as we know it, some days we have difficulty finding peace in this world. But that's because we're looking in the wrong place. We find peace through God. When we turn to God, then we can find that inner peace that He offers each one of us. So we should let the peace of Christ rule over our lives. And in order to do that, we need to turn our life over to Him. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, we see that it states, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they would be called children of God." Well, you know, sometimes in our life, we just really need to work harder at getting along with other people. And I'm saying that because I struggle with that sometimes. If you know me real well, you probably would agree with me. But that's the truth. And we're to forgive 70 times 7. And I struggle with that. If I forgive someone 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 times, I'm about done with that. You know, I have a problem with that. And I need to get over it. I need to grow in that area. Because that's not something that is good for me or anyone else. But it's the truth, and I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm telling you the truth. And I struggle with that. And that's just one of my many weaknesses. But that's certainly one of them, and it's an area that I need to grow in, because we are to forgive 70 times 7. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The peace of mind that we experience through our relationship with God is unmatched. It's a peace of mind that can only happen through learning to communicate with God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God guards our heart at even our darkest hour. And I know everyone in here could write down on a piece of paper what their darkest hour has been in this life. Everyone has that moment that was their darkest hour. But the peace of God can bring us through that. He guards our heart so that we can get through those darkest hours. And that is so important to us in our Christian relationship with our God. The third and final point, and I know you were glad to hear that. The third and final point that I'm going to talk about is patience. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. And I know that as we go through our life, we learn. We learn from a lot of mistakes. And as we learn from those, we do develop a wisdom that we can utilize to help others. I know that many times when I was a young boy, I'd slip off to the creek or to a pond and go fishing. How many of you ever been fishing with a cane pole and a bobber? You know what I'm talking about. And you'd sit there all afternoon, and it would be hot, and the dragonflies were buzzing around, and you'd be watching that bobber to see if it's going to move. And it required patience to sit there and not get up and walk off and go do something else. You know, chase a rabbit. But it took patience to sit there and wait for that fish. Well, you know, we're instructed to be fishers of men. And we need to know that whenever we're fishing for men, we have to have patience. We have to have a lot greater amount of patience than when we are watching that bobber and we're fishing. Because a lot of times in fishing for men, it might be years, it might go into decades of time before the seeds that you have cast out actually sprout and begin to grow. And so, as fishermen of men, we need to be patient and we need to be understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. And as we grow in our Christian faith, we develop greater patience. I think that's truly part of the process. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Our actions can teach great lessons on patience. Now think about this. Get a visual. Your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild running through the kitchen with a glass full of orange juice, drops the glass, hits the floor, shatters into 1,000 pieces. Orange juice goes everywhere. How are we going to react in that moment? Are we going to have patience and work through that situation? Are we going to have a reaction at that moment that we would later look upon in regret? You know, how are we going to handle that? Are we going to be patient? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We all should fully appreciate our God's patience with each of us, because He is a loving and patient God. And because of that, we will have that opportunity to be with Him in heaven. Thankfully, He is a forgiving God, and He works with us with patience. I think I may have shared this with you once before, but I'm going to share it again because someone might not have heard it, and to me, I think it's something that's important. There was this young boy that really struggled with anger issues. He'd get stirred up real quick. If things didn't go his way, he wasn't very patient. He would get upset and usually say or do things that he'd regret later. Well, his father took him aside and said, "Son, you know, every time you get upset and you blow up, I want you to go out to that fence and I want you to drive a nail. You take that hammer and you hit that nail as hard as you can and you drive that nail into that fence. And you report back to me every time you do that." Well, the first day, I think the boy ended up driving about 10 nails in the fence, you know, and then gradually, over a month or two, he got down to maybe one nail a day or two. And then finally, he made it a day and did not have to drive a nail in that fence. And he went and reported to his dad. He was so excited. And his dad said, "Now, every time you stop yourself from being upset, you go back and pull a nail out of that fence." And so that's what the boy did. Every time he'd get a grip on himself and get himself stopped, he'd go out there and he'd pull that nail out and he'd report back to his dad, "I got to pull another nail. I got to pull another one," you know. Well, eventually he pulled all the nails back out of that fence. He went and reported to his dad, "Dad, I got them all out." His dad said, "Good, let's go look at that fence." And he went and they looked at the fence, and what they saw was a lot of damage that had been done to that fence because of all those nails that had been put in that fence and all of them that had been pulled back out. It created a lot of damage. You know, and in our life, if we're not patient and understanding in situations, we can do a lot of damage. We really can. And yes, we can ask for that person to forgive us, but that damage is done. That fence was damaged. And that's something that we need to learn from. I think that father had some wisdom there, and I think he made his boy stop and think sometimes rather than just react. Well, my topics was prayer, peace, and patience. And if there's anyone here tonight that feels like they've just driven too many nails in that fence and they need to look at things differently and they need help, then now would be the time to come forward and ask for your Lord Jesus Christ to help you in life. And if you haven't been baptized, I'm sure we have our elders here that can assist you. Now would be the time to come forward.